Zeit Gang, you like to watch new stuff, right? I mean, who doesn't? I do. Well, go to Hulu and see what's new, because Hulu has new stuff all the time, like Vanderpump Villa, the new docudrama starring Lisa Vanderpump, where first-class luxury meets world-class drama, a new season of The Kardashians starring The Kardashians, of course, and Grand Cayman, Secrets in Paradise, the sizzling new reality show set in the tropical Caribbean. It's streaming now, and it's waiting for you on Hulu.
Enjoy all your favorite sports like never before at BetMGM. Signing up and playing is so easy. Simply sign up using code Buckeye and receive up to $1,500 back in bonus bets if you don't win your first bet. When you register with BetMGM, you can get instant access to a variety of parlay selection features, live betting options, and the best daily promotions in the business. And with BetMGM at your fingertips, every play and every game matter more than ever. Place your moneyline, prop, and parlay bets with a king of sportsbooks today. Sign up using code Buckeye and receive up to $1,500 back in bonus bets if you don't win your first bet. That's right, up to $1,500. Again, sign up using code Buckeye and receive up to $1,500 back in bonus bets if you don't win your first bet. BetMGM and GameSense remind you to play responsibly. 21 plus and present in Ohio, subject to eligibility requirements. Rewards are non-withdrawable bonus bets that expire in 7 days. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER in partnership with MGM Northfield Park. That's 1-800-GAMBLER.
From BBC Radio 4, Britain's biggest paranormal podcast is going on a road trip.
I thought in that moment, oh my God, we've summoned something from this board.
This is Uncanny USA.
He says, somebody's in the house, and I screamed.
Listen to Uncanny USA wherever you get your BBC podcasts, if you dare.
Here's something you might not know about wireless. Sometimes what you see isn't what you get. But with Visible, what you see is what you get. Switch to Visible, the wireless company that makes wireless visible. Get a one-line plan with unlimited 5G data powered by Verizon. Just $25 per month, taxes and fees included. Switch now at Visible.com. Monthly rate on the Visible plan. For data management practices and additional terms, visit Visible.com.
Hello, the internet, and welcome to season 264, episode 2 of Der Daily Zeitgeist, yeah! A production of iHeartRadio. This is a podcast where we take a deep dive into America's shared consciousness. And it's Tuesday, November 22nd, 2022, 11-22-22.
Yeah. You'd think, 11-22, you add them together, you get 11 plus 11, get 22.
What?
Only one day. There's only one fucking day. This is like weird when there's only one day, but the one day that is on the pay to be a holiday calendar is National Cranberry Relish Day.
Yes. Been hearing
yes?
a lot of... No.
No?
No.
Okay.
Do you this like... is just my response to every national...
But do you like...
Yes.
Any thoughts?
Oh, hell yeah.
Thoughts on a cranberry relish?
I like cranberry sauce, but I don't believe that's cranberry relish. Doesn't it have to have pickles in it to be relish?
No. I think it's just like because it's
just cranberry sauce, just
cranberry,
the mashed up.
But it's like it's definitely like fruitier. You can see the meat of the fruit, mm-hmm. the flesh of it in this.
Sure, whatever. I prefer the jellied.
I can't,
can shaped, like where you can see the ridges from the.
What
can.
Do you eat that for to contrast? Like just
as
a flavor,
just a little scoop in there to mix it up.
Every time I've had it,
the judgment, Miles.
It's not judgment. I'm putting myself in that experience.
You just
I'm going
spit on the floor.
Like, I'm like, no, I don't want to eat out of the blue cranberry. No.
Yeah, I like it. It's just it adds a little contrast to the old palate. We also do a like dessert dish right on the plate with the Thanksgiving fixins with sweet potato crunch, which it got in there as like a sweet potato, like mashed sweet potato casserole thing.
Right.
But I've just evolved it so that it's mostly like the crunch layer, which is just like this brown sugar,
like brittle.
Crystallized brittle. Yeah. It's the sweetest thing on like that I've ever had on any day, let alone Thanksgiving, and it comes out with the turkey, which
on
I enjoy.
The same plate.
Yeah, I don't mind it.
All right, to each their own.
Yeah, I'm a sick fuck, Miles.
Yeah, what can you say?
My name is Jack O'Brien, a.k.a. This apple's 10% pink, 20% Smith, 15% my favorite apple, Honey Crisp, 5% Fuji, 50% plain. I think they're sugar bees, but can't remember the name. That's courtesy of Fighter of the Nightman. Little remember the name, a.k.a. Yeah. And, you know, it's really a story about apples and my failing brain, because I think I talked for 20 minutes about an apple that I couldn't remember the name of. It was Sugar Bee. Sugar Bees are sugar. A new player has entered the chat.
Okay.
Or the game or whatever. Okay. And it is Sugar Bees. They're fucking delicious on a good day. Also cherry apples, little tiny apples. This is their season, and they're pretty delicious. I'm thrilled to be joined, as always, by my co-host, Mr. Miles Gray!
It's hard to believe that this restaurant's out there. It's hard to believe that I've never been. At least I have their love. TDZ, they love me. Hungry as I am, together we dine. And I just really want some cheese. Mine's not Monterey. Get it hot and bubbling up on that crust today. Pepperoni slice for me. I want it every day. Take me to the place I love. Red Hot CPK. Okay, shout out Blake Rogers.
Did I do that one last week?
Did you do that one?
I think I might have done that one last week.
Oh, shit.
It was good. It was good.
Well, then allow me to do this one for you. Oh, good. If that wasn't enough.
I'm going to pretend I did this one,
guess
too.
What? Pineapple goes on every pizza. Breadsticks taste better with the cheese. Here's a slice of shrimp with teriyaki glaze. Chad Smith had a piece just the other day. Gift card is loaded with some Zcash. Rick Rubin's vegan. He's a hard pass. Good friends, your taste is what we aim to please. Add on dates and goat cheese for the Frischantain fleas. Okay.
Whoa.
Now that one was from the Beating Drum on Discord.
Yeah, I did that one on Tuesday, man.
Okay. Well, allow me to get you with this one.
Miles, we are thrilled to be joined by a patient and brilliant filmmaker, writer, actor, comedian, podcaster, yes, who co-founded what the AV Club called one of the best podcast networks out there, Small Beans, where you can find he and a bunch of the most talented people we worked with at Cracked hosting shows. He's the host and creator of One Upsmanship on this very network. It's the brilliant and talented Michael Swaim!
Oh, my goodness. Hey, gang. So great here again. I am Michael Swaim, a.k.a. I remember when I lost my Michael. There's something special about that Swaim.
Ooh.
That's after several months of singing lessons. Still not good. But I just joined TikTok and I was confronted with that run.
That's good.
That's the new running up that hill. Yeah.
Wait, is it?
Oh, did they just discover that song?
You're supposed to have your fingers on the pulse, guys.
Not
yeah, no, 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 no. There's this person did an a specifically incredible run of I lost my mind. And it like sounds like a computer. But it's organic. She really did it, and everyone's very impressed. That's all. I got three C words for you. First, Cosmic Crisp, the brand new apple that's the best apple out there.
Cosmic Crisp?
Cosmic Crisp is killing it. In fact, our local grocery store is now constantly out of the Cosmic Crisp.
Wow.
And it says there's a big sticker on it. You know this is how it got me. That says, tastes like candy. And boy, it sure does.
Oh, wow.
I don't know what kind of genetic... Right. Monkey shines they got up to. Like, I'm sure it's not healthy, but it's a great apple. And then compote. You left out compote. Yeah, there's jelly. There's gelée.
And a compote.
Mash, muddle. But I'm a fan of the compote like that. There's a crayon orange compote from Trader Joe's that's excellent.
Oh, okay.
So what is it? What's the difference between a compote, jellied log, and relish?
Well, I watch a lot of competitive reality chef game shows. So I've learned that very little. Like, I've learned that when you present the dish, part of it is bullshitting like you used to on high school essays. Like, I really think part of it is being very good at calling it a gelée and staying up with the new trendy lingo, like a puree is now something else I forget. You're like, it's a consomme. And I think it's just words, but I would say there are broad categories and they usually refer to like the viscosity.
Right,
Miles
had
it right. It's the you see the meat of the nut or the chunk of the meat or whatever
flesh.
He said.
Yeah, yeah.
Yeah.
Meat of the fruit.
But I think compote to me implies multiple, it's cranberry and you got some orange in there.
A compote,
a compote
is when you, when you make a jelly, do you also like boil it in like sugar water?
Horse bones. Well,
I do know jelly is like when, like the can, like solid. And then jam is when there's still, yeah.
Yeah, from my time of watching those cooking shows too, I think it's like when you have, when you're like cooking the whole fruits down in like sweet water. And then from there, like you can, I don't know, who gives a shit? This is a terrible cooking show.
According to the Oxford English Dictionary, it has to be cooked in syrup to be a compote. That's why I like it. Okay. Tastes like candy.
Yeah, exactly.
I think we're seeing a trend here.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. I just like that marketing now for fruit is like, man, fuck the fruit part of it. This shit tastes like candy. And everyone's like, oh, great. Yeah, that.
Cosmic Crisp is such a choice with the name. I love it.
Yeah, the little circular sticker on it is a little galaxy, purple galaxy. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. It's very hype for an apple. I guess that's the only way I can say it.
Yeah.
Cosmic. Yeah. It also like suggests some like psychedelia it mixed in there.
That's what I mean. They have a very specific vibe. Yeah.
Yeah.
Oh, it's not your granddaddy's apple.
It's a cross between the Enterprise apple and the Honeycrisp. So I think the Enterprise is what's giving you the cosmic.
Is that real? Is that right?
Yeah. This is on cosmiccrisp.com, like the fucking lobbying site of the fruit itself.
Wow.
I like to stand there at the apple aisle like it's a weed dispensary and just, you know, talk up and down the various strains.
Right.
This apple gives me a real body tang. I don't know. What do apples
give
me?
I truly could talk about apples all day.
Talk to the grocer.
The jazz really had a strong opening and then hasn't really held on as much as I wanted to.
Gala used to be my standby. Will you fuck with a gala?
I do. They don't retain their crispness as much as the Honeycrisp. Like I have had some mealy gala before, whereas Honeycrisp are like, you know, 99 for 100. You know, they're almost always crispy. Yeah. Whereas gala, it's a little bit more of a crapshoot. They're almost always really good though. So gala.
I'm in a purple train wreck apples right now.
What's that?
No, it's just a weed strain.
Yeah, I know. I was gonna be like, wait, hold on. Nah, what? Because that got my ears perked up. I was like, well, hold on. How do
you know, you smoke through a hollowed out apple, but people underestimate how important what kind of apple affects the weed as it goes through.
And then you eat it after if you're a real fucking loser like we would in junior high.
I do feel like, not Honeycrisp, Granny Smith would be, because it feels like it's the densest, hardest apple. Would Granny Smith be the best apple to smoke out of?
And it already kind of, that flavor I find is adjacent to what lawn trimmings smell like anyway. So you got the grass synergy going on.
Yeah.
Right. Oh, interesting. Yeah, you don't want to, just. It feels like a utility fruit. You know what I mean?
It's a shit really apple. To, it's a just straight eat.
Bad apple.
Can we all agree? Yeah, it's not a great apple.
Great pie apple. Yeah.
Great pipe. Great pipe, terrible fruit.
That's right. All right, Michael, we're going to get to know you a little bit better in a moment. First, we're going to tell our listeners a couple of the things we're talking about. We're going to talk about COP27. The outcome is a fund, which if you listen to yesterday's episode, you might have some idea of, you know, where I'm coming from on like, well, just solve it with finance. But we'll talk about that idea. We'll talk about another mass shooting in a gay club in Colorado Springs, and it seems politically motivated. We don't know the details yet. The right is blaming whoever, but the cops fucked up again. They're not great at protecting people, but doesn't seem like it's their job. And then I'm just going to do a quick review of a couple camps that I've been going to.
For like a couple episodes, I've been a guest host, and a lot of people are like, where's Jack? Why is Jack not on this episode?
Yeah, well,
he should be in a camp of some kind. We should send him to a camp, is what people are saying.
But not not that kind.
No, I don't even know what you're implying.
Summer I'm part camp. Of a project a modern day night project.
Oh no,
it's this camp that's like
day
how to
night.
Be toxic
it sounds like
masculine.
A paradox, Jack.
Yeah, yeah, K N I G H T. But don't think the wordplay is accidental, because my friend, these are some smart and clever people who want to teach you how to be like a chimpanzee and not a bonobo. So they're like,
you know the difference, asshole.
Don't bonobos fuck
just have
all
sex
the time?
All day?
Isn't
all
that
day.
Super alpha male traditionally?
No, actually, it's not. The thing that's alpha male is turning on somebody who's been a lifelong friend and ripping their penis and face off.
Get that face, gentlemen. Rip that face.
We'll also talk about Trump being back on Twitter, sort of. I don't know. We're all, let's go with fucked. We'll see. No real way to know, but maybe we'll get to that.
Or he'll get sued by the people that he's trying to get truth to, like, take truth public with. Like, they might sue him if he goes on Twitter. It's like, it's such a weird situation.
I know. But before we get to any of that shit, Michael, we like to ask our guests, what is something from your search history?
Oh, sure. I got three quick ones because I went back and back and back and there was nothing too spicy, but I do think it's telling. If the goal is to get to know me, this is highly telling. But when we all thought, and we still think, and every day we think, that, well, that's it for Twitter. That's the last. Today it's Hive. We're all going over to X place, but whatever. Well, the first day that was happening, and I was like, it's going to shut off at midnight tonight, man. What's your final shout out into the void? So I searched Kid Chameleon box art. And if you haven't seen it, it's highly excellent. I was like, this is really what I want to be remembered by. And now I'm looking at it again at the top of my profile and I'm like, back tattoo? Maybe? It's really good.
It's really coolest, cool.
It's the coolest kid ever in a bunch of different forms, like cornucopying out at you. And it's just my favorite video game art of all time.
Was that a good game? I don't even really remember Kid Chameleon. Was that a Sega game?
Yeah, it was a Genesis game, and I loved it because it had something like 99 levels or something.
Holy
so
shit.
When I was young enough that I, you know, could only afford one game for a year, it actually lasted a year. And I did not beat that game until my early 30s, when my friend who used to play it with me when we were 11, like, came for a visit, and we're like, let's beat
one last
Chameleon
time?
This week, and we did. Yeah, and it was one of the highlights of my life, probably. One I think it's a great job. Game. Very imaginative. It's no Mario, but it's good. And then the other one I'll bring up is I searched saddest song of all time. And that was actually for a sketch I put out. I was looking for examples of sad songs. But I find it very interesting. Like, the number one with a bullet is always Tears in Heaven. I get it. His son actually died. Feels like a gimme to me. Feels like you're sort of putting us over a musical barrel, Eric Clapton. Yeah. You know what I mean? Like, how
it's
do you
weird.
Vote against that?
I feel
think
like,
sadder songs.
Yeah. What? That's such a hard one to put your finger on, like, the saddest song, because, like, it's so unique to a person. Like,
totally.
If God only knows what I'd be without you played over any photo, like, slideshow, I would cry.
Wow.
I don't know why. It's just
it's
weird.
Winsome.
That feels like there's like a cheerfulness, or maybe I just like learned about it too late or something, and already I think I first like heard about that in my like 20s, like about like, oh, Pet Sounds is really good, or no, I guess it must
well
have been
no
when
it's yeah and
Boogie
it's not even because
Nights
I'm like
out.
Moved to it. It's like usually like it's in a situation where like someone like it's at a funeral and then like they'll do that and then like it's all these like that French horn comes in and then it's like, oh wow, like they had this life, and then it kind of like evolves and like, oh my god, like it's just what they're going now. Yeah, that one, I don't know why, but that's just like a weird one that I would never say is the saddest song, but I've recently encountered it in the last like 6 years like a few times, and I'm like, oh, this shit, I don't know why it's fucking hitting me in my brain.
I get it. Can I give you my two real quick?
Yeah
After much research, Ode to Billy Joe, Bobby Gentry, if you haven't heard that, it's about accidentally getting pregnant in the Deep South in the past and having to get rid of the baby by throwing it off a bridge. Very, very sad.
Oh no!
And God. Then,
Jesus
and then,
Christ!
Beautiful song. And then, shoot, I had it. No, not the fucking Hold Steady. Oh, yeah, I gotta tell this story. Sorry. So there's this Pink Floyd song called The Gunner's Dream. that's about, I believe, what happened to Roger Waters' father in the war, or someone in the war. It might not be his relative, but it's from the point of view of a dude getting shot out of a plane, but being alive and falling to the ground and thinking about, like, I'm going to miss my kid. I'm going to miss my wife. I wonder what this will be like. I wonder what this will be like. Like, the thoughts going through your head as you plummet to earth and die.
Yeah.
And that one's also very sad.
Yeah.
Yeah. There's that
great
one.
Songs.
There's that one about, like, the space shuttle, like the Columbia, like coming apart on reentry. God. That's so dark, God. But it's also like really beautiful. Gloomy Sunday. I was going to go with Gloomy Sunday, aka the Hungarian Suicide Song, which was a song composed in 1933 and that like caused a mass wave of people taking their own lives. So
I got to hear that. Oh my,
I know. Now you
got
to hear it. No, I actually haven't. But
I've seen The Ring. I'm not.
Yeah, I'm good.
That,
yeah.
That and So Hard to Say Goodbye to Yesterday by Boys to Men.
Yeah. Although that one just solemn. Reminds me too much of childhood. Yeah.
Yeah. It just feels, I feel like that was also an early one I would hear at funerals too, like around that time that album came out. And it's, oof.
Oof. Yeah. Yeah. There are some songs that are sad, but you can tell the people writing them have access to their emotions. And I don't feel as sad for them. I'm like, all right, well, you seem like You're feeling your emotions in a way. Like country songs, I feel like, are like, you know, a lot of the times doing that. Whereas, yeah, there are some songs that just feel like, oh, man. This amount. Like, yeah, I guess God Only Knows is like, I never feel like, I always feel like there's some subtext that Brian Wilson and the writers of those songs are not aware of.
Yeah. And for me, it's just more the context. Like I feel like for like Swain, if you're searching for the saddest song, it's because you're trying to pair it with, like, you're trying to assemble something, right? Like, thinking of that. And like, I'm thinking, like, when I've seen that song assembled with like a tribute thing, like the second I hear it, I'm like, oh, fuck.
Right.
Mm-hmm. Any song but this one.
Yeah. What's something you think is overrated, Michael?
I think I may have said this before years ago on this podcast, but for different reasons. But I'm going to hit it again just in case. Maybe it's my destiny. Free Will! Like everyone, I know you rely on me for your video games information. One-upsmanship, folks. It's called one-upsmanship. I'm playing God of War Ragnarok like everyone is. I actually just finished it this morning without any spoiling anything. It's about parenthood, obviously, but then the B theme right under that is there free will, or is everything preordained? Like, is the prophecy exist? Can we defy the prophecy? And I urge people who are playing through it to hold the story to account and just think about that question and what the thing is trying to say as you go through that game, because it can't decide. And it's almost treats it like a political or religious subject where it's like, well, we can't come down on, it keeps changing. Like,
it's
if
up
you
to
decode
you.
The message, it's like, yeah, there is free will. There isn't free will. Who knows? You killed the big boss. Let's get out of here.
And here's some puzzles.
But it did make me meditate on, we love the idea of choice so much, but I really think, especially since I've started meditating regularly, I'm much more in the vibe of let go, be like the stone in the stream or what have you. And to me, that does equate to, I want to try and convince myself that there is no free will and really believe it. Because then it's all good, man. Like at that point, like I can trip over a dim sum cart in front of everyone and be like, you know, it is destined, so it shall be.
So it goes.
Like nothing is my fault, right?
I'm killing it.
Yeah.
And you don't judge your own internal value based on, well, I did X things right today. I fucked up Y times. Let's do the math, which I tend to do. So I'm just deciding, like, whatever happens, happens. That it was meant to be. Don't look at me. Like, it's not my problem.
Yeah.
It's not my purview. Yeah.
I think that's definitely the mentally healthy way to be, is to not focus too much on free will and just be like, this is, you know, this is what is happening. Yeah, Taoism, you know, a lot of different kind of spiritualities focus on that.
Yeah, and I don't know if it's unique to our time or Western culture, but we seem, that like disgusts us in some way, or we seem to have like, no, freedom. It's very important that I'm in control of the car, right?
Yeah.
I have some association of that being like the right decision, and I'm falling off that.
Yeah. Yeah, I think America is built on like the idea of free will, and that like it's all whatever you get, you deserve it because you chose it, because it's, you know, and therefore billionaires and rich people all deserve our undying respect because they deserve it.
Because of the accomplishments.
Yeah, the accomplishments.
I'm the decider. Yeah, it's important to us. Yeah,
you can rationalize also not doing shit for other people too, if the concept is like, well, their choices led them to that space.
Yeah,
and mine led me here, and therefore, like, while that is tragic, I don't need to be too consumed with what environment that person was operating in.
They're like scoreboard. Look at the scoreboard. I won.
And yeah, there's like, I think also when you have so much choice, or you bang that fucking like theme of freedom over and over and over again, it's really about too. It's just about the idea of like telling yourself you're not out of control. Because if you're able to say like, no, it's my freedom to do this, this, and this, you're increasingly putting yourself like in this, like you're framing your own existence in a way that's saying like, oh, because I'm able to control many of these things, that's why I rely on this thing of free will rather than, you know, the other thing, which like some shit, you got to just throw your hands up and realize I'm out of control in this, and I'm merely like existing in a situation trying to navigate it. But
yeah,
control it, man. Control your environment.
That's right.
Old wisdom, but super true. Truer the older I get.
Yeah, yeah. We're gonna learn about how to control your environment, use your free will by going to a camp that costs $20,000 for a weekend. What is something you think is underrated?
Scheduling sex. Speaking of reaching middle age, I think my partner and I didn't have sex for some length of time that I guess I'm not even willing to disclose because that's so long. And we were like, you also get in your head equating it to expectations like, oh no, does that, and yet everything else in the relationship was like ideal. And it's like, what does that mean? Is the spark dead or whatever we're supposed to be or have or do? And we came to a place where, no, it's like that first initial, it, for us, it was like 2 to 3 years, but that phase where sex just organically happens constantly, always abates. And then there's no shame. And like, I'm very, very busy doing a lot of shit. So I want to tell people out there, I want to spread the message that scheduled sex to keep the intimacy connection there, super useful tool. And don't get hung up about like, what does it mean that it's scheduled? So, I mean, we're currently in disagreement about this a little bit. So we've been doing phenomenally scheduled precision sex. The train's always running on time. For some time now, it's been going great. My partner last night was like, that is good. It's a useful tool. I think we should also start mixing in sometimes, what if it's a surprise or spontaneous? And my first impulse, I got to say, was I was like, nah, like I'll see you Sunday at 2:30 for 45 minutes of build, 12 minutes of like core work, 60 seconds to 2 minutes of refractory period, the drill. I am super routine based, and I love it now. But now we're going to try and be spontaneous again too. Have you ever tried to be spontaneous? Like it's almost antithetical.
Doesn't work like that. I like fuck protocol. Yeah.
Those who respect protocol,
you know what I mean? Like it, I think it's totally something that like even, me and being a long-term relationship, like you always think about those things. You're like, well, what? The momentum of like being younger and hornier with less responsibility, like is something wrong with us? And you're like, no, life is evolving. And it's also about like, you know, when you're in a relationship that's like meant to last, you look at those things and you navigate them together and you come up with things to address them. So, yeah, rather than feeling guilty, it's like, no, you're trying to optimize things. You know, shout out also, fuck protocols.
Yeah, for sure. Again, it's the hung up on plans I made. Like somewhere in the midst of puberty when I was constantly horny, I heard people older than me saying that actually wears off eventually. Life gets in the way, like, but it's fine. And I thought, no, it's not fine. In my relationship, we will bone every day forever because that's how I'll know we're so in love more than those people. But that's a plan I made when I was a horny, like, 16-year-old boy. Why would that be a viable plan in your mid-30s? It makes no sense, right?
A lot of couples therapists also, like, echo that this is a great tool to have. Yeah. So if you feel like, because I also think that, first of all, like the more you know someone, the more you're like deep into adult life, spending a lot of time, like, you know, doing bills and planning your lives together. I don't know. It's just like it becomes the momentum towards like that conversation. It can be like awkward to like skip from this like very, you know, normal, mundane to asking to have sex. And then I feel like it can be also an awkward conversation to ask to plan it. But like it's definitely worth it. And also if you need help asking to plan it, like there are plenty of resources out there that are like, this is the cornerstone of like many healthy marriages. So just be like, I was reading this relationship book, or, you know, go see a couple's therapist, or
getting over that idea that it's you can't do that though. That ruins the magic. It was huge. Way better now.
The magic isn't spontaneously fucking all the time. The magic is being connected to someone that you can communicate your needs to and navigate life
just
together.
Get that oxytocin however you need to.
Yeah. And or just come up with a song that when you play it, they know what time it is. You know what I mean?
God only knows. Boing.
Exactly. That French horn solo comes in, you know.
You get super tumest, but you're also sobbing. It's a weird scene.
It just, I don't know, babe. It just puts me in the right space. You know, like I'm thinking about how we're on this mortal plane and how transient everything is, you know, while also
it makes
like
me feel alive now. Alive now.
God, and God only knows that I'd be without you specifically. I mean, it's like it all fucking makes sense.
All right. Let's take a quick break. We'll be right back to talk some COP 27.
Salp scoop.
You like to watch new stuff, right, Zygang? I know I do. Well, go to Hulu and see what's new. Because Hulu has new stuff all the time, like Vanderpump Villa, the new docudrama starring Lisa Vanderpump. Join Lisa and her hand-selected staff at Chateau Rosabelle, a glamorous estate in the French countryside, as they live, work, and play together 24/7. Vanderpump Villa is where first-class luxury meets world-class drama. And don't miss the new season of The Kardashians, starring The Kardashians, of course. And season 5 promises new horizons for the entire Kardashian clan. And if you're looking for steamy streams, check out Grand Cayman Secrets in Paradise, the sizzling new reality show set on the tropical Caribbean island of Grand Cayman, where the rich come to play. But be warned, it's a small island and secrets don't stay secret for long. So come check out what's new on Hulu this month. It's streaming now and it's waiting for you on Hulu.
Enjoy all your favorite sports like never before at BetMGM. Signing up and playing is so easy. Simply sign up using code Buckeye and receive up to $1,500 back in bonus bets if you don't win your first bet. When you register with BetMGM, you can get instant access to a variety of parlay selection features, live betting options, and the best daily promotions in the business. And with BetMGM at your fingertips, every play and every game matter more than ever. Place your moneyline, prop, and parlay bets with a king of sportsbooks today. Sign up using code Buckeye and receive up to $1,500 back in bonus bets if you don't win your first bet. That's right, up to $1,500. Again, sign up using code Buckeye and receive up to $1,500 back in bonus bets if you don't win your first bet. BetMGM and GameSense remind you to play responsibly. 21 plus and present in Ohio, subject to eligibility requirements. Rewards are non-withdrawable bonus bets that expire in 7 days. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER in partnership with MGM Northfield Park. That's 1-800-GAMBLER.
From BBC Radio 4, Britain's biggest paranormal podcast is going on a road trip.
I thought in that moment, oh my God, we've summoned something from this board.
This is Uncanny USA.
He says, somebody's in the house, and I screamed.
Listen to Uncanny USA wherever you get your BBC podcasts, if you dare.
Are you looking for the perfect move-in ready home this spring season? Now's the time to buy at Fisher Homes. For a limited time only, enjoy below market interest rates starting at 5.375% APR, 6.139% APR. With these exclusive lower rates, you can save hundreds on a move-in ready home and start enjoying the benefits of homeownership even faster. Schedule your personal tour with one of our new home specialists at fisherhomes.com and make this spring the season you find your perfect home sweet home. Financing provided by Victory Mortgage, LLC, NMLS 461249, Equal Housing Lender.
And we're back, and COP 27 closed A lot of people were wondering, so like, do we have a new agreement that everyone's going to work towards? Do they know the Earth is looking at a super chaotic future that we need to take drastic action to change our energy mix? What? So it seems like not really, or at least, you know, as we talked about last week, it's become sort of a place for the energy industries to go. It's like an industry trade show.
Yeah. You know, I think despite every scientist ever saying we need to phase out fossil fuels in order to, you know, stabilize the climate on the planet. Yeah. The geniuses that lead this planet decided they're just, I don't know. We didn't really come to anything on the phasing out stuff part. So no agreement was really made on that. And this is when analysis is showing that, like, at best, like, the countries involved have collectively reduced emissions by like 0.3% based on their plans that they've like unveiled over. Like, so you're like, what the fuck is going on? Like, this isn't, y'all aren't even meeting your goals. But so what is the deal here? But again, this shouldn't be a surprise when the, like, going into this, like the EU, UK, US, they've all been expanding fossil fuel extraction. So it's not like what they've in practice has been anything like remotely close to what needs to happen. I guess like the one quote unquote good thing that has come out was that the wealthier nations agreed to establish a loss and damage fund to support nations in the global south since they are experiencing the worst effects of climate change. But this is like the bare minimum, considering that most, if not all, of these countries are facing an omni-crisis of their own, of like debt, COVID-induced economic downturns on top of the existing inequality that these nations have faced. So this is something that's been talked about for like over 30 years. So it's not like this, they just came up with this novel concept. Many, many nations have been saying, like, you guys are the ones creating all of the emissions, but we're dealing with the physical fallout of it. You need to come pay these bills. And they did. But don't, you know, hold your horses, because they haven't actually defined what the amount would be in that fund, where the money comes from, what the process is going to be. That's still very opaque. And yeah, but that is,
so it's like a sin tax more than anything. They're just like paying for their sins. It's not changing anything about how they pollute or anything like that.
It's basically like, all right, fine. Can we burn all these all this dinosaur shit if we pay your fucking disaster bills?
Wow.
Kind of is what it's what it's netting out to. And on top of it, they're like, we can also expand the carbon like offset market so people can buy like carbon like credits from other nations. But that's, again, has nothing to do with it. Like, the easy thing, which was just to go in a room and say, OK, how do we use less earth poison?
Yeah.
Ideas. Go. You. What do you got? OK, what about you? Instead, these capital brain fucking dickheads just only come up with a plan that's like, requires spending money. Yeah. And I get that you could invest in other technologies, but they literally went in there and they're like, I don't know how are we going to tell an industry, hey, sorry, your product is rendering the planet unusable. We got to move on to something else. They couldn't do that.
Yeah, it just feels like anything that requires them to hold the thought in their mind that economic growth at all costs equals like not always good. Like that, anything like that dies immediately. And so they have to, you know, bend it around so that it is like growth driven, so that it's like a fund that they can watch grow and use to like invest in nations. And, you know, that they just need it to be put on their terms. Of course, the problem with this idea is the one that we covered on Monday's episode, I guess it was yesterday's episode, with effective altruism, that the people who run these massive multi-billion dollar funds will, of course, be finance people. And finance is inevitably tied into the world of fossil fuels and, you know, insidery, you know, business connections. And it's not going to run efficiently, no matter what they say is going to happen in theory.
I mean, and a lot of people were like, why don't you like cancel the massive debts you hold over these like developing nations that the Western world like uses as a control mechanism? Like, that would be a first step if you're serious about alleviating like the pressures on a nation to be able to deal with the climate and help their own people, is to first be like, yeah, can you take that fucking boot off our neck of like these like loans that you walked us into to just, you know, begin to push further influence on like a nation's government? And like, that was one thing, like Lula from Brazil, he was out there being like, what's up with all you countries talking about you were going to give all this money? You didn't even fucking come close. Like, yeah. He was one of the few sort of like leaders who was like scolding people while all of this was happening. But that was like, that was one of like the small bright spots throughout a whole thing, which we've seen be described as just a trade show for fossil fuels.
I know they're linked, but in some way it does seem like they didn't necessarily have to like both boots fall at the same time. It's a super double whammy for Earth and humanity that we're doing, like that America at least is doing late stage capitalism and figuring that out. And the climate change stuff is the downslope is now and it's happening more and more because it feels like ditto our healthcare system. It's sort of the same problem with our outlook is it's all triage. It's never preventable. It's still, even if they did give the money or forgive the loans, it feels like your base assumption is still rather than, oh my God, your nation got pounded by hurricanes or wildfires. How can we stop this from happening again in the future? It's, we will give you money to rebuild every year when that happens every year. Yeah. That's not going to work out. That's not tenable in the long term.
Okay, yeah, what if we build a Tesla factory in our country?
Right.
Yeah, we bring more jobs and it's like the hurricanes, the problems, the hurricanes.
And guess what? Stop the hurricane fuel.
Yeah.
Guess they're going to expect you to pay them back for building in the aftermath of those hurricanes, and you're going to go into more debt. And then
right. And that's the late stage capitalism thing is, of course, everything's tied to the actual mandate, at least if you're a company with shareholders, that you are legally have to always make profit, which is just like a fever dream. And we're trying to move. I believe that humanity has the capacity to move past both of those sticking points, but it's a tough call to try and work them both out at once.
Because the one is just feeding the other one. And like you're saying, we're just at that point where like, it's this thing that you won't turn off that.
Yeah.
Just fucking try and turn off a part of it for fuck's sake, please.
And we know the consequences absolutely will get so severe that it even starts to threaten the infrastructures that support the very powerful and wealthy. And I'm sure they'll respond at some point, but it's just a question of how much immeasurable damage will be done before they go, all right, you're right. It sank all my yachts, stocks down, line go down. I guess we'll switch to alternate fuel sources now. And then it's like 2079 or whatever.
Yeah. It's like, what do you think of the other 65 people that are alive on Earth?
Right. We'll think about
Should
that.
Should we stop it? Damn. Nobody even can cook our meals anymore.
It's like the cave in Dr. Strangelove. Like at the end of that movie, they start talking. All the people in the war room are like, well, fortunately, we have this cave where a small number of humans will go and like just procreate. And I guess that's us. You know,
yeah, is one of you a doctor? Cool.
Yeah,
one of you, y'all know how to handle life cut off from everything, and then you're fucking okay. Go ahead. Yeah,
but that seems to be the strategy. Like all of the like 1% hyper wealthy are talking about New Zealand, and you know that
their bunkers, EA, and shit.
That ethical or effective altruism, just like they're focused on long term problems and don't focus on climate change at all. And their justification is, well, New Zealand will probably survive. And it's just like
fit 8 billion people on there.
Yeah. The unspoken part of that is like with us there because we're rich and have the means. And it like even goes back to one of the first stories we covered on this podcast was like this new like trend in survivalism by like tech billionaires where they're all like getting LASIK and like doing all these things in preparation for like everything crumbling, like socially and civilizationally. They've just skipped past this to, but we're going to be fine because we have billions of dollars.
Right. And then your money will be fucking useless in the apocalypse. And then they're like, oh, shit, man. They're going to look like Billy Zane in Titanic when they're like, here, my good man, get me on one of these boats. And they're like, your money can't save you. And he's like, oh, shit. It eventually does get to that point, too, where like money's even fucking useless, even though you think you might be able to coerce somebody into helping you out in your rich guy endgame. But
I don't underestimate how much they can fix the game to make it so that they're all set.
They can go long time. Yeah.
Yeah.
I'm just imagining like New Zealand as like Coruscant all the money flows there. It's all crypto, so it just exists in the air anyway. Who cares? Everyone gets to work remote and everyone's fucking dead.
Right. Yeah.
That system will work for like 25 years and then that will crumble.
Yeah.
But we'll all get to do that Hobbit walking tour. That'll be nice. That Lord of the Rings.
That yeah. will be cool. They yeah. will. And that'll be nice for them.
Oh, they will.
No. And they deserve it.
Well, once a year we visit to bow to them. They need that validation to keep being job creators.
Yeah. See how bad things have gotten for us. They only have one eye now. They're
we all have to go get in line and say one nice thing to Elon each. Right. Just go through that. Good game. Good game.
Good game.
You're
sick
very funny.
Sick hairline, my guy.
You really are very funny, Mr. Musk. That tweet.
A leader in meme technologies.
Did you see that tweet from Jordan Peterson?
No, what was it?
Oh my God. It was literally Elon Musk tweeted. So somebody tweeted like a painting of a woman like showing her, you know, vagina to her a
Twitter
saint.
Too. Well, yeah, yeah, I've seen
and
that.
And it was like Twitter over the vagina and like Trump is the saint, like
praying and ignoring it.
And Elon Musk retweeted that picture and was like, lead us not into temptation, which is like, okay, I guess. Like, I guess. Mm-hmm. And Jordan Peterson responded to that and was like, you really are very funny, Mr.
No.
Musk. Oh, my God.
What the fuck? You truly are the king of kings. Like,
the response I saw that I thought was interesting was someone tweeting that they were on board the whole time. They love the Trump's back. They love Musk. But you made light of a line from the Bible. That's the line for me. I'm out. That was the line for them.
Yeah,
so specific. Go. Yeah.
Hey, wow. It's Knife's Edge. You're on a Knife's Edge. Mm-hmm.
All right, let's take a quick break. We'll be right back.
You like to watch new stuff, right, Zygang? I know I do. Well, go to Hulu and see what's new. Because Hulu has new stuff all the time, like Vanderpump Villa, the new docudrama starring Lisa Vanderpump. Join Lisa and her hand-selected staff at Chateau Rosabelle, a glamorous estate in the French countryside, as they live, work, and play together 24/7. Vanderpump Villa is where first-class luxury meets world-class drama. And don't miss the new season of The Kardashians, starring The Kardashians, of course. And season 5 promises new horizons for the entire Kardashian clan. And if you're looking for steamy streams, check out Grand Cayman Secrets in Paradise, the sizzling new reality show set on the tropical Caribbean island of Grand Cayman, where the rich come to play. But be warned, it's a small island. And secrets don't stay secret for long. So come check out what's new on Hulu this month. It's streaming now, and it's waiting for you on Hulu.
Enjoy all your favorite sports like never before at BetMGM. Signing up and playing is so easy. Simply sign up using code Buckeye and receive up to $1,500 back in bonus bets if you don't win your first bet. When you register with BetMGM, you can get instant access to a variety of parlay selection features, live betting options, and the best daily promotions in the business. And with BetMGM at your fingertips, every play and every game matter more than ever. Place your moneyline, prop, and parlay bets with the king of sportsbooks today. Sign up using code Buckeye and receive up to $1,500 back in bonus bets if you don't win your first bet. That's right, up to $1,500. Again, sign up using code Buckeye and receive up to $1,500 back in bonus bets if you don't win your first bet. BetMGM and GameSense remind you to play responsibly. 21 plus and present in Ohio, subject to eligibility requirements. Rewards are non-withdrawable bonus bets that expire in 7 days. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER in partnership with MGM Northfield Park. That's 1-800-GAMBLER.
From BBC Radio 4, Britain's biggest paranormal podcast is going on a road trip.
I thought in that moment, oh my God, we've summoned something from this board.
This is Uncanny USA.
He says, somebody's in the house, and I screamed.
Listen to Uncanny USA wherever you get your BBC podcasts, if you dare.
Hold up.
Are you looking for the perfect move-in ready home this spring season? Now's the time to buy at Fisher Homes. For a limited time only, enjoy below market interest rates starting at 5.375% APR, 6.139% APR. With these exclusive lower rates, you can save hundreds on a move-in ready home and start enjoying the benefits of home ownership even faster. Schedule your personal tour with one of our new home specialists at fisherhomes.com and make this spring the season you find your perfect home sweet home. Financing provided by Victory Mortgage, LLC, NMLS 461249, Equal Housing Lender.
And we're back, and there was another mass shooting over the weekend at a gay club in Colorado Springs. A 22-year-old man, grandson of a January 6th loving MAGA politician, opened fire in a gay nightclub, killing five, injuring dozens more. The killer was subdued by two unarmed club patrons and held until the cops came. So, yeah. You know.
It's like, I think for most of us, it's clear, like, this violence is like just coming on the heels of, or not the heel, I mean, the GOP is like on a constant dehumanization campaign against the LGBTQ community. And like,
yeah,
you know, the midterms is constant accusations of grooming or predators, or like, or painting supportive parents as child abusers. But of course, like, the very people that have been using their platforms to, you know, focus all of the hate towards this community are using all of their energy to act like they have like nothing to do with this. Matt Walsh, who like we talked about last week, lost it when he found out like the U.S. men's national team would have like a rainbow like color spectrum in the World Cup crest. He said, quote, leftists are using a mass shooting to try and blackmail us into accepting the castration and sexualization of children. These people are just beyond evil. I have never felt more motivated to oppose everything they stand for with every fiber of my being. Despicable scumbags. Mm. Candace Owens said something similar where it's basically they're trying to say they're trying to use this mass shooting for us to be less hateful, essentially, but they're using these really they're completely obscuring it by saying like they want us to accept child abuse because right. of these shootings, essentially. Usually you'll also see like these arguments too from like the right that like it has to do with like woke district attorneys. But, you know, the problem here on top of the rampant homophobia on the right is also that the cops aren't even enforcing the kinds of laws that could have potentially prevented this kind of tragedy.
Yeah. This was like a town where they specifically refused to confiscate guns, right? They refused the
county,
yeah,
El Paso County. They call themselves a Second Amendment sanctuary county,
right.
Basically saying that like we believe in your right to bear arms. So if a red flag law quote infringes upon your inalienable rights, then they will take a pass. And you know, a year and a half ago, the shooter was like, he like threatened his own mother with a homemade bomb, and the bomb squad came, and the neighborhood had to be evacuated. And this guy's family and law enforcement didn't even seem to know or care about this trigger law. And, you know, which would have allowed the authorities to take his weapons and ammunition. And I mean, it can be debated like how effective that would have been, because the time in which those things can be confiscated can be ranged from like 2 weeks to 6 months. But it would have definitely alerted law enforcement to the fact they had a bomb-making kidnapper that was armed and active in their community.
Right.
And you put all these things together, the amount of just hateful rhetoric on the right, disinterested law enforcement that can't even like actually look out for the community. And, you know, we're just seeing just this kind of terrible fucking tragedy occur in a way that honestly feels like it, you could have predicted it because of the amount of like just hate speech and like stochastic terrorism that's coming out of the right.
Yeah. And it's, you know, they're going to a place that is, you know, a place that is supposed to be a safe space for, you know, gay people to, you know, feel safe and be with one another and friends. And they're invading that and murdering everyone. There's really good thread from Dan Savage, like kind of a call to arms, but it is the natural, you know, when we're seeing people talk about groomers and all this shit, like this is the sort of thing that we said would or could happen, and it's just a very natural, you know, consequence of that shit. The AP article about the shooting also mentioned that they had a mass shooting where 3 people were killed and 8 wounded at a Planned Parenthood in Colorado Springs in 2015. And I had like totally forgotten about that. Like there was a terror attack in the same town. Like it's just, that's how common, like there's such a fucking double standard between like right-wing violence and like right-wing terrorism and everything else. It's like that terrorism just gets ignored or like memory hold.
Yeah.
And it still all seems to come down, or for me, to start with some kind of radical wealth distribution, or I hate to be like the Marxist on here, but disjoining from capitalism or the incentivized structure as it currently stands, only because now we exist in this, like there's always been room for disagreement among humans, Lord knows, but it feels like we've now reached this place, as has been said many times before, where you can say, it's so easy to shift the argument, like, wow, what a simple but effective sleight of hand to go, no, our guy went and murdered people. We're still good and they're still bad. Our team's still right, because if he didn't murder people, that somehow would be endorsing grooming children. It's like, okay, so you can just attach a lie to a news story to completely rescope it or reframe it. Anyone can do this for any purpose. And it really only comes down to, in an almost an advertising sense of like repeated saturation, getting that message out to your base, finding the fragments of people in the world who tend to agree with your sentiment, collecting them all and telling them whatever you want to tell them until they go, I mean, they said it 50 times, it's got to be true, until it becomes their worldview. And it seems to me the most potent tool for that is social media. And you're like, okay, well, how's that going? Who's in charge of that? Oh, shit.
Right.
The richest man on earth. So I really do think it all circles back to, you can't have richest man on earth. They're, you know, I'm anti-billionaire is what it boils down to, but I think it all sort of pyramids out from there.
Yeah.
I cannot overstate, of course, how much I agree and how tragic it is, which is sadly almost pointless to say. I just want to add to the audience that I was known in the Cracked Writers Room as something of a joke sniper, and we fully had the opportunity to riff on like Joe Rogan style alpha males, but here we are instead. So,
right.
Thanks.
Yeah. I mean, it's what's happening, unfortunately.
I'm the real victim here. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. No. Yeah.
Well said. I did want to. Well,
yeah. I mean, just to your point about like capitalism and like the capitalist sort of logic at being at the core of this, is that there's also, this is the result of a massive industry that keeps on selling guns, and that the government, it's probably the clearest way. Like climate, I guess, is also pretty clear, but climate, you also have like BP spending billions of dollars to be like, we're actually the climate change company that wants to be green. So like there's like confusing mixed messages, but like gun control and the fact that gun sales keep going up and up and up as it becomes clearer and clearer that we're the only country where this sort of shit happens on a regular basis. And like the simple solution is to get rid of the guns. Like it's just so clear cut. There's no running away from that, but they managed to just like kind of grit their teeth and
right, like globally everyone's addicted to oil, right, or some segment of the population, but just ask Australia. They're like, we had one of these, we took all the guns away, mate, no more mass shootings,
right?
Yeah.
Gov, I switched to cocking. Yeah, but you get what I'm saying. Good.
It's a World Cup right now. Yeah, it's confusing. But the other thing that I didn't realize a lot of people were pointing out was that group Focus on the Family or whatever the fuck it's called,
can't be good.
Yeah, wait, let me make sure. Yeah, oh yeah, it is Focus on the Family. Like, they are one of the, like, wild, like, they're just out here, you know, like, one of, like, the, like, original anti-LGBTQ hate groups. That
is that the umbrella blocking the rainbow? Is that them?
It might, I have no idea. I'm not up on my homophobic semiotics these days. But
what a fresh new hate symbol, yeah.
Yeah, right. But that group is, like, you know, it's headquartered in Colorado Springs. You know, there's like, it's just that these, all of these things come together. It's not just that, like, you can keep being like, oh, I wonder if these are connected, that for someone getting their news constantly and what the tone of that news is, these people aren't human, they're actually dangerous. And having like law enforcement that's like so NRA brained that they've bought the whole thing of like, we're a sanctuary community for gun humping, coming together and just creating more and more, you know, threat vectors for innocent people. It's just, it's really hard to kind of watch. And yeah, I think to your point, Jack, there was that video of a guy talking about how he was at the club and how he's really mourning for his community, because this, that was like the place where people in their community were able to congregate, and that's being just violently ripped away with attacks like this.
Well, speaking of social media, Trump is back, has been invited back to Twitter, sort of. He's probably going to come back. We don't know. But it was just interesting to like watch the mainstream media response. Like The Atlantic had an article that opened by saying that like Trump's back in a way that's far more important than him joining,
being
like
president,
being, like running for president again, which I don't know. It definitely, like him running for president definitely felt like inevitable. So maybe that announcement wasn't that surprising, but like far more important. It feels like a, I don't know. Like my biggest concern here is, you know, he will eventually start using this bullhorn again, because I think he's incapable of doing that, or incapable of not doing that. He'll probably like screen cap Truth Social things and post them on Twitter or whatever, like to split the difference. But I think the biggest danger is that the mainstream media and journalists from places like, I don't know, say The Atlantic, all decide to start treating his tweets with the seriousness of like presidential decrees again, like they did before.
It's, they have to give the what the New York Post did to him that said Florida man makes announcement.
Right.
When he, and I granted they're doing that for their own purposes, but like to get completely caught up again in his bullshit is, I mean, I don't know. It doesn't seem like the media learns anything from like every weird blunder that's occurred from their analysis. So I have a feeling a lot of people are like, oh, good. Now I can just talk. I can be on the, you know, Trump Twitter beat.
Yeah. But it doesn't make any intellectually rigorous sort of sense that we would start paying attention now that he's on Twitter. Like, I can't imagine, because like, I think the argument would be, well, he has 88 million followers there and that's like more dangerous. But like that assumes there was somebody who's going to like see one of his tweets now and be like, oh yeah, where'd that guy go? Trump, right? He used to tweet in my feed before, and then
Trump?
He went away, and now he's back. All right, I'm gonna start listening to him again. Like it feels very much like it. The only real reason for it would be the perception of it being more official because it's Twitter and because that's where those journalists actually hang out, right? I mean, I definitely could see it being more impactful and like a very bad thing. But I also feel like the mainstream media needs to like kind of recognize their complicity in that and maybe not take it seriously, not suddenly assign 40 journalists to the Trump Twitter beat like once he starts tweeting again.
Yeah.
He should wait a week and then just retweet the Covfefe tweet. What a time to redeploy that.
Wow.
Jesus Christ.
Yeah.
Or hamburger.
It feels like it's also part of dunk culture, or like, you know, Twitter's the world's biggest writer's room. And I wonder what percentage of his followers are following because it's great material. Like, I know, you know, our pal Cody Johnston, I'm sure, follows Trump and I'm sure doesn't like him. So there's a, like, we're all ingesting Trump tweets in order to, I mean, how often are you alive during the time that there's a historically anomalous buffoon, possibly worst president in the history of your entire country? And you're like, I'm alive now and I am into satire. Or even if you're just a person who shit posts or dunks on Twitter and goes viral constantly for it, you're going to. It's funny because I can tie that right to the media where it's like, I know what I should do. I know what I should engage with and what I should just ignore.
Right.
But
it's too easy, though.
I could get a bump in ratings if I fuck with this toxic guy.
Yeah.
And we'll even do that for nothing, for the number of our Twitter likes to go up. So, of course, media people will do it for job security for another couple years.
Right.
Like, I wouldn't say no to that Twitter beat. If I thought of myself as just, I'm a cog in a giant machine. I got to eat. I got to work. I got to live.
I think,
come on, Daily Zeitgeist, let me live. is what they're saying.
I think for like, for if the media does, they're like, well, he has so many followers. It's like, well, then don't just breathlessly regurgitate what's being tweeted. Like, then fucking address what it is. Like, if you're going to learn anything, then report on it and then dismantle whatever the argument or like bullshit is in these supposed tweets that are so important. Because most of the time it's like, can you believe he said that?
Right. Yeah.
And what? What else is your commentary beside being aghast? Like, are you going to inform people why what is said is so fucking off or not? But it's funny, too, because just like with all of this, there's still the potential for some investor to get fucked by Trump coming back to Twitter, because we talked about how they're trying to sell Truth Social, like take it public and be able to be like, hey, now you can buy stock in Truth Social, like in this whole fucking, you know, Trump Media and Technology Group. Well, the special purpose acquisition company that they were teaming up with, like, a lot of people are saying, like, if that deal goes through and then Trump goes to, like, is back on Twitter, like, a lot of investors may feel duped because he said, I'm never going back. He's like, I'm on Truth, baby. And then if he goes back, the people that invest might be like, hey, motherfucker, the whole appeal from Truth was that you weren't going on Twitter. Yeah. And then a lawsuit that will be ignored will probably ensue. But just like that, even amongst all of that, there's still the potential for him to completely go back on his.
It's what he does. It's always what he does. He fucks people over in the world of business and gets away with it. But
and usually the people who just helped him out just now. He's such a quick betrayer. Yeah. He does not bide his time for years. He gets that shit done.
Absolutely not. Absolutely
also,
not.
Just that I've seen like some theories on, like, there was somebody on TikTok talking very seriously about how Elon Musk is actually breaking Twitter on purpose, and like that this is all like part of some grand scheme. And like, did you guys see that Robert Iger like came back as the Disney CEO?
Yeah.
Like I think these guys are all just addicts to like fame. It's not very original to say fame is a drug, but like they are just addicts. And like Robert Iger retired a year ago, like made it on methadone for a year of just like having the occasional like feature written about him, but like not really in the action, in the spotlight. And then he was like, nah, fuck it. And like, you know, basically killed his chosen successor to like, and fired him to take back the job he had just left. But yeah, like Elon Musk and Trump are just full blown addicts of that same drug, and they're controlled by whatever's going to get them like the most of it. And they're just doing the most fame cocaine that any human has ever done and basically enabling each other.
I do see, like, when I think about what the utility is of Twitter being gone, it serves the status quo.
For sure. Know?
Like, so that's why I think
I just don't think it's intentional.
I think it can and can't be. That's what makes it really insidious, is on one hand, you can map all the like sort of billionaire egomaniac buffoon shit onto it. And then there's also like, it smacks of like when those people like helped Kanye run for president in 2020, where it's like, he might not know, but other people being like, yo, that's actually a good move. Like he might fuck that up, but if that goes down, we can get rid of a massive tool that's been, you know, a thorn in a lot of sides of like very autocratic regimes, but also like break his hold on his companies too, that other companies would be like, yeah, see, because if he fucks all that money up, like he might not be in control of Tesla as much as he'd like to be, or SpaceX or these other things. But I think that's why it's so hard to really get a handle on it, because his actions absolutely like just reek of like just this guy's bumbling and his ego's getting in the way. And it's like, but the side effect of that is like, you know, I'm sure people are like, yeah, I wouldn't mind if Twitter was gone.
Right. Yeah. There's definitely probably people, investors and people backing him, but I'm just, if you want to know what Elon Musk or Trump or like some other narcissistic, egomaniacal billionaire is going to do, just like figure out what the thing is that is going to get them the most attention. Like, and that's almost always going to be the answer.
So. And it feels like it seems to be a theme that it's people who've internalized, or that kid who grew up not understanding or somehow internalizing that it's fine. good attention versus bad attention. Like, bad attention's just attention. As good. I got the attention. Because every time anyone of note, so because fame respects fame as well. If you're addicted to that drug, you imbue it with meaning. So the few times, right, Elon will respond, it's because like Stephen King dunked on him or someone notable dunked on him.
Right.
And his response is always, I don't care. We have record engagement. You're all looking at me. Like, that's enough for this old bear. And it's like, I, you know, the Holocaust had record global engagement. Right. It's not good. So,
I mean, their numbers were huge, though.
But I do think Trump has the same thing where it's just get me those numbers. I need those big numbers.
Yeah, because it's weird that he even says it like he's trying to prove that, like, it's a healthy business by being like, and record usage, too. It's like, yeah, but how do you keep your, like, how are you paying the people to keep the website alive? Because everything you read is advertisers are like, no thanks forever.
Yeah.
So then he's like, well, joke's on you because even more people are posting racial slurs online than ever before. So is this working correctly?
All right. Like Michael mentioned, we're not going to get to the macho camps because I still have like a couple things I want to try out. So I'm still doing my research.
Some curls, some deadlifts.
So. Yeah, yeah.
You're going to come back and be like, all right, I was wrong.
I was wrong. The fucking rules.
I wasted. Yeah.
I made some friendships that are going to stand the test of time. I know that now. I can say that now.
Michael, as always, such a pleasure having you. Where can people find you, follow you, all that good stuff?
Absolutely. Thanks so much. My treat, I'll skip Twitter so people can find, stay abreast of what we're doing, including if we end up moving our primary social presence over at patreon.com/smallbeans. That's where you can find everything. We do occasional sketches. We have a backlog of pretty decent videos, but for like the last 3 years, we primarily put out podcasts on a wide range of subjects. You can also find all of our non-exclusive podcasts on the free feed just by searching Small Beans wherever you get podcasts. And as alluded to, I co-host a podcast with Mr. Adam Ganser about video games that we do weekly. That's called One Upsmanship.
Yeah, yeah.
One UPSmanship, one word. And that's a lot of fun.
Yeah, yeah. It's a great show. Small Beans is amazing. And Michael and Abe's sketches are some of the best in the business. So definitely go check all that out. And is there a tweet or some of the work of social media you've been enjoying?
Yeah, I'll do a closing tweet, last tweet ever that I'll ever like or see is the vibe I'm getting. But a friend in real life who has almost no followers, but I think tweets funny stuff sometimes. So look out for Kelsey Hudgens at Yonder Wizard on Twitter, WIZZERD, is getting out of the friend zone called Bestiality.
Nice.
I thought that was a solid fun. Bestiality. Yes, sir.
Yeah. Like Miles, where can people find you? What's a tweet you've been enjoying?
At Miles of Gray, where they still respect the at symbol, wherever that may be, you may find me there. Also, check Jack and I out on Miles and Jack Got Mad Boosties. That's the number one 100% top-rated basketball podcast alongside the NBA. And also 420 Day Fiancé. If you like 90 Day Fiancé, that's the other pod. Some tweets that I like. Both aviation themed tweets that I like because there's so much just nonsense that I'm like, I love the people that are just being like, yeah, this shit's all fucked up, but don't knock me off my purpose, which is just to tell you some weird stuff I saw in real life. The first one is from Alex Murdoch at Alex G Murd, tweeted, I'm at airport security and the guy in front of me just discovered his ticket says JFK and bless his heart because we're at LaGuardia.
Buddy.
That's like one of the that's a hard one to, I guess, accept. Laura Peak at Laura Peak _ tweeted, on my flight today, I woke up from a nap and an attendant was walking down the aisle holding a pug saying, we found this pug. Whose pug is this? And for 3 hours, we all just took turns holding the mystery pug until a very stoned man in the last row woke up and was like, Roscoe?
buddy. Two tweets I've been enjoying. Will Needham tweeted, when I'm at a friend's house, I say, can you show me where you keep all the cards I've given you? And at Candy Flippin tweeted, there is no such thing as unlimited breadsticks. You will eventually die. And that's a fact.
The sun will envelop the earth, and that's all the breadsticks you get.
That's right. Matt Novak also retweeted like some of his favorite tweets of all time that It's a pretty good thread. You can find us on Twitter at Daily Zeitgeist. We're at The Daily Zeitgeist on Instagram. We have a Facebook fan page and a website, dailyzeitgeist.com, where we post our episodes and our footnotes.
Footnotes.
Where we link off to the information that we talked about in today's episode, as well as a song that we think you might enjoy. Miles, what song do we think people might enjoy?
Just some nice jazzy Japanese jazz from yesteryear. This is Suzuki Hiroshi. And this track's called ... Romance. And it's just like one of those old Japanese jazz tunes that like a lot of hip hop artists, I'm guessing, have probably sampled, because that was a very popular genre to sample. So check this one out. Romance by Suzuki Hiroshi. H-I-R-O-S-H-I.
I also wanted to read this one from Noah Garfinkel. Cut my meat into pieces. You are my mom. I'm four. You can find that song in the footnotes. The Daily Zeitgeist is a production of iHeartRadio. For more podcasts from iHeartRadio, visit the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you listen to your favorite shows. That is going to do it for us this morning. Back this afternoon to tell you what is trending. And we will talk to y'all then. Bye.
Bye.
Zeit Gang, you like to watch new stuff, right? I mean, who doesn't? I do. Well, go to Hulu and see what's new, because Hulu has new stuff all the time, like Vanderpump Villa, the new docudrama starring Lisa Vanderpump, where first-class luxury meets world-class drama. A new season of The Kardashians, starring The Kardashians, of course, and Grand Cayman, Secrets in Paradise, the sizzling new reality show set in the tropical Caribbean. It's streaming now, and it's waiting for you on Hulu.
Here's something you might not know about wireless. Sometimes what you see isn't what you get. But with Visible, what you see is what you get. Switch to Visible, the wireless company that makes wireless visible. Get a one-line plan with unlimited 5G data powered by Verizon. Just $25 per month, taxes and fees included. Switch now at Visible.com. Monthly rate on the Visible plan. For data management practices and additional terms, visit Visible.com.
I'm Katia Adler, host of The Global Story. Over the last 25 years, I've covered conflicts in the Middle East, political and economic crises in Europe, drug cartels in Mexico. Now I'm covering the stories behind the news all over the world in conversation with those who break it. Join me Monday to Friday to find out what's happening, why, and what it all means. Follow The Global Story from the BBC wherever you listen to podcasts.
Are you looking for the perfect move-in ready home this spring season? Now's the time to buy at Fisher Homes. For a limited time only, enjoy below market interest rates starting at 5.375% APR, 6.139% APR. With these exclusive lower rates, you can save hundreds on a move-in ready home and start enjoying the benefits of homeownership even faster. Schedule your personal tour with one of our new home specialists at fisherhomes.com and make this spring the season you find your perfect home sweet home. Financing provided by Victory Mortgage, LLC, NMLS 461249, Equal Housing Lender.